It's Tuesday, November the 14th, day 318 in our journey through the Bible. And what a journey it's been. Well, my friends, this is the Daily Radio Bible, and I want to welcome everyone out there. My name's Hunter, and we're about to do what we've been doing for, you heard it, 318 days now this year. And in fact, it's been 4+ years now that we've been gathering together each day on this podcast. We're about to spend some time in God's Word. We're going to let God's Word spend some time on us. You know how we need that, no doubt about that. Every day I need His Word, and today we're going to hear His good word to us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 149, and then we finish 1 Corinthians 15 and 16. Let's jump right in, Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing His praises in the assembly of the faithful. O Israel, rejoice in your Maker. O people of Jerusalem, exult in your King. Praise His name with dancing, accompanied by tambourine and harp. For the Lord delights in His people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let the faithful rejoice that He honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie in their beds. Let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind the kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains, to execute the judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of His faithful ones. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection of Christ. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believed something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what has been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried and He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, He was seen by more than 500 of His followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then He was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw Him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy of being called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out His special favor on me, and not without results, for I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by His grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you have already believed. Tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God if we had said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of the great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when He comes back. After that, the end will come, and He will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power, for Christ must reign until He humbles all His enemies beneath His feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For the Scriptures say, God has put all things under His authority. Of course, when He says all things under His authority, that does not include God Himself, who gave Christ His authority. Then, when all things are under his authority, the Son will put himself under God's authority, so that God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everything, everywhere. If the dead will not be raised, what point is there in people being baptized for those who are dead? Why do it unless the dead will someday be raised? And why should we ourselves risk our lives hour by hour? For I swear, dear brothers and sisters, that I face death daily. This is as certain as my pride in what Christ Jesus our Lord has done in you. And what value was there in fighting wild beasts, those people of Ephesus, if there will be no resurrection from the dead? And if there is no resurrection, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you don't know God at all. But someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put into the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat, or whatever you're planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. Similarly, there are different kinds of flesh, one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are also bodies in heavens and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and stars each have another kind. And even the stars differ from each other in their glory. It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die. But we will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried in natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. The scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. And when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. 1 Corinthians 16. Now, regarding your question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, we should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there, then try to collect it all at once. When I come, I will write a letter of recommendation for the messengers you choose to deliver your gift to Jerusalem. And if it seems appropriate for me to go along, they can travel with me. I'm coming to visit you after I have been to Macedonia, for I am planning to travel through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay a while with you, possibly all winter, and then you can send me on my way to my next destination. This time I don't want to make just a short visit and then go right on. I want to come and stay a while, if the Lord will let me. In the meantime, I'll be staying here in Ephesus until the festival of Pentecost. There is a wide open door for a great work here. although many oppose me. When Timothy comes, don't intimidate him. He is doing the Lord's work, just as I am. Don't let anyone treat him with contempt. Send him on his way with your blessing when he returns to me. I expect him to come with the other believers. Now about our brother Apollos. I urged him to visit you with the other believers, but he was not willing to go right now. He will see you later when he has the opportunity. Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love. You know that Stephanas and his household were the first of the harvest of believers in Greece, and they are spending their lives in service to God's people. I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, to submit to them and others like them who serve with such devotion. I am very glad that Stephanas, Fortunas, and Achaicus have come here. They have been providing the help you weren't here to give me. They have been a wonderful encouragement to me, as they have been to you. You must show your appreciation to all who serve so well. The church here in the province of Asia sends greetings in the Lord, as do Aquila and Priscilla and all the others that gather in their home for church meetings. All the brothers and sisters here send greetings to you. Greet each other with a sacred kiss. Here is my greetings in my own handwriting, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, that person is cursed. O Lord, come. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. And now may we receive God's love and his blessing from the reading of his word. Amen. Paul wants to know where you stand. Where do you stand? Do you stand for something that is true, or do you stand for something that is not true? This goes way beyond pragmatism for Paul. Paul's not concerned primarily with how pragmatic you might think the gospel is. He's concerned that you are standing in the truth of the gospel. The fault lines of your pragmatism will someday be found out. No, it's important that we stand in the truth, that we stand in the truth of the resurrection. It is this good news, this truthful news, that will save us. He tells us this: it is the good news that saves you, if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. He tells us this: listen, I'm passing on to you what was most important, and what had also been passed on to me. Now listen to this, my friends. This is the truth that we must be rooted in. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures say. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures say. There you have it. Is this where you are standing? Are you standing in the gospel? Are you standing in the truth that Christ died and was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day? This, my friends, is the heart of the matter. If we're not standing here, then we're not standing anywhere. Paul says this: for if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and our faith is useless, and we apostles would all be lying about God. Without the resurrection, our faith is useless. Without the resurrection, we descend into nihilism and hedonism. That would be the only reasonable response to a life without hope, without the resurrection. But with the resurrection, everything changes. Life is no longer a descent into senseless hedonism. Instead, it is a revelation of life and hope and joy and strength. It's a life of purpose, a life of destiny. This all comes with the resurrection. And if there is no resurrection, then there is nothing. So Paul wants to ask you where you stand. Where do you stand? Let me encourage you today to stand in the truth. This is no fairy tale. This is reality. Let's plant both of our feet firmly in reality, in the promise in the truth of the resurrection of Christ. Paul leaves us with these words: be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love. And to that we say amen. Because of the resurrection, we can stand firm. Because of the resurrection, we can be courageous, and we can be strong, and we can do all things in love. That's the prayer of my heart for my own soul today. It's a prayer I have for my family, for my wife, my daughters, my son. That's my prayer for you. May it be so. Let's stand firm. DailyRadioBible.com. That's our home base out here in the interwebs, and it is always such a blessing to hear from you. So next time you got a moment, take it and let a brother know. Tell them who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. Hey, speaking of folks out there in the interwebs, I want to send a shout out to a few people. Coming in all the way from Melbourne, Australia, I want to say a big howdy to Michael Thomas. Michael, thanks so much for writing in, my brother. What an encouragement to hear how God is connecting us all the way across the globe through His Word. What an amazing thing. I also want to send a big shout out to Brenda Kearns. Brenda, thanks so much for connecting with the Daily Radio Bible, and blessings on you, my friend. To all of you, as a matter of fact, what a joy and honor this is to share in God's Word each day. Hey, I plan on being back here again tomorrow, and I plan on doing the same thing. I hope you join me. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, let's connect again tomorrow. You guys take care. Bye-bye.